anointed from birth, cultivated by destiny and positioned for purpose. He's a powerful and anointed preacher, teacher, counselor, pastor, leader, motivator, philosopher, theologian, historian, and a prophet. Born for such a time as this, the Word of God in his mouth transcends social, racial, and denominational barriers. He's a man who is on fire for God and anointed by God for this hour to serve God's purpose in our generation. He's a seasoned man of God with impeccable character, integrity, and wisdom. A charismatic and dynamic leader. A razor-sharp prophet of God. God has endowed him with great revelation of the Word of God, which he delivers with prophetic accuracy and precision. He's a sought-after revivalist and conference speaker. He has preached the Word of God on every continent. He is the author of two dynamic books, The Genetic Power of Names and Transgenerational Mandate. God raised him by grace and entrusted him with an uncommon anointing and a great ministry. He fulfills his prophetic calling as the founder and general overseer of Destiny Empowerment Chapel International in Ghana and abroad. He's a devoted husband to his lovely wife, First Lady Reverend Naomi Taylor. Together, they proudly share two wonderful sons, Merrick Abel Taylor and Morris Cerullo Taylor. He's a refreshing prophetic voice of wisdom for the nation. He produces sobriety and biblical integrity. He's a gifted leader whose message touches the whole spectrum of Christendom and life. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for takeoff as we go beyond history and into destiny. Please join me with a standing ovation and a big round of applause as we welcome our special guest, a man of God with the heart of God, a general in the Lord's army, an ambassador of hope to our generation, the firebrand apostle, Prophet Bernard Afrisa Taylor.
Praise the Lord. With your hands lifted, you want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you tonight and grant you access to deep insight of His Word, revelation that will revolutionize your entire Christian walk of faith. Tell Jesus to visit you like never before. Lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is our master teacher, to inspire wisdom, to empower you like never before. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Jesus. Korabasheka da da bahayas. En korobohosa babarianto sebehea. Zanta da da bahayas. Talk to Jesus. To Jesus. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. With your hands lifted. Father, we submit our minds and our hearts under your leadership. Bring conviction to our souls, our hearts. Let our spirit be in divine compliance to the instructions of your word. Inspire wisdom in us. Empower us to excel. Grant us the humility of heart to be recipient of your word tonight. Build in us the shock absorbers and the shoulders to carry the weight of our assignment. Help us to grow in love with you, love for you. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody holler the loudest, amen.
Amen.
Put those hands together for Jesus. And before you take your seat, we want to honor our prophet, the mighty man of God, the great teacher, pastor of this great house, Pastor Dante Berry and his dear wife. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. Praise the Lord. And it's been very exciting from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and tonight. And God has been so gracious to us. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you feel shifted supernaturally? Today we are so blessed and we are humbled to receive in the house one of the fathers of the land. Amen. He's my friend for some years now, a man I respect dearly. And we are very humbled because anytime I'm around, he passes through. He's a man that have great credence and reverence for relationship, covenant relationship. And I cannot speak without him saying a word or two. So help me honor God's servant, our professor, one of the very best, amen, Bishop Ordained James.
Grace and peace to everybody from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a powerful moment in which the word of the Lord is going to come to pass. And this is a moment of anticipation every time God speaks to us. And so I'm thankful that I'm able to come today to this awesome house of God, Kingdom Headquarters. Mm. We greet the Spirit of the Lord, the head of our life, greeting Pastor Dante and his wife, amen, and of course, Prophet Taylor, and I relish in the moment of coming under the teaching of the word of the Lord, because we are always one word away from the next move of God. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The worlds were framed by the word of his power. You're living and walking on what the word created. And if God speaks to us, and if God speaks into our life, whatever is broken, whatever is missing, whatever is lacking can be recreated by the power of the word. And so this is a reverent moment in which we open up our hearts to receive what God has for us. Do me a favor, lift up your hands and say, Lord, speak to us today. Use your servant and shift our lives. Now let's give God praise and glory in anticipation of what God is going to say. God bless you.
Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. The last few decades, can monitor sound a little bit, of my walk with Jesus, I would like to espouse an exegete on one of the secrets of God in the kingdom. Jesus speaking in Mark 4:11, he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So Job was speaking, said, the secret of the Lord was upon thy tabernacle, and from thy youth the secret of God was upon thy tabernacle. God has secrets. Look at someone and say, God has secrets.
God has secrets.
Psalm 25:14, you see, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So tonight I need you to open up your spirit, open up your heart, and receive this teaching. I've been preaching so hard, hardcore. Preaching brings inspiration. Teaching does not just give information, but it gives grounding. Amen. I believe in doctrine. Doctrine is what builds and establishes you as a Christian in your walk of faith. So tonight, I am here as your father to help you see God well in your service, in your worship, in your dedication. This teaching will bless you mightily. Amen. When you look at scripture in Psalm 51, David in a broken state, in verse 5, acknowledges his humanity, and now he appeals to God, cries for mercy, and tells God, in iniquity I was formed and shapen. Praise the Lord. So you will agree with me, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:44, that man is earthly. Look at someone, say, man is earthly. Oh, can we have church here? Look at someone, say, man is earthly. God was making assessment of man in Genesis 6, verse 5. When I teach, I quote a lot of scriptures, so bear with me. And God's assessment of man, that God saw the very imagination and the heart of man. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah is speaking in Jeremiah 17, verse 10. He said, the heart of man is desperately what? So I want you to know that we man as we are, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, we are naturally flawed. Look at someone and say, man is naturally flawed. It takes God's grace and mercy for us to access the gate of the blessing. And tonight, if naturally in our humanity we are flawed, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says that even in our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. Paul acknowledges his humanity in Romans 7, 15 to about 20. Paul is speaking about the things that he desires, that he wished he could do, but he could not do. So what is it that will keep us in the heart of God? If naturally in our humanity, even our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God, what is it that will keep God's mercies, God's grace? What is it that will bring us to the place of distinction? And tonight I would like to speak to you on what I have entitled The Wonders of Genuine Love for God. Look at somebody and say, The Wonders of Genuine Love for God. If you have your Bibles, go to St. Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter. St. Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter. And we want to read from the verse 28 to 31. The verse 28 to 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And let's read together, verse 30 to 32. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, number one, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there is none other commandment greater than this. Our objective tonight is to unveil and understand the breakthrough power of love. The breakthrough power of love. And that is engaging the spirit of love. Over the years, as I've been coming in and out, we have established that the subjectivity of the discipline of dedication to God, our commitment to God, number one, details and entails, number one, affection for God. Look at someone's affection for God. In our walk with God, a child of God who is uncompromisingly, unflinchingly dedicated to God is a deep lover of God. David speaking in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3, he said, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God." Number two, we established over the years that our dedication to God means devotion to God. Look at us, a devotion to God. Where a person is extremely devoted to God in deep personal intimacy with God. In Genesis 19:27, Abraham got up to the place where he stood before God. He had a standing before God. Number three, we established over the years that our dedication to God means submission to God. Look at someone say, submission to God. My life is not mine. It belongs to God. In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Paul is speaking, nevertheless, the life that I live, not mine, but Christ that liveth in me. So God is in charge of my life. Amen. Number four, over the years, we have established that our dedication to God means addiction to God. Say, addiction to God. It means you are literally living on God. You are a God addict. You run on God. Like a cocaine addict cannot survive without coke, you cannot survive without God. Praise the living God. Paul speaking in Philippians 1:21, say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is..." So life for me means Christ, and without Christ, I cannot survive. And lastly, over the years, we have established that our dedication to God means donation to God. Say, donation to God. Donation to God. I dash myself to God. I give him my life permanently. God owns my life. So cumulatively, we can therefore establish that the very root and the crust of a dedicated believer, the very centrality of our dedication to God is love. Praise the living God. Love is the substratum and the foundation of our commitment to God. Every covenant practice in the kingdom of God is enshrined in our love for God. Praise the living God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to submit to you that the force of love is a non-negotiable factor as a child of God. The force of love is a non-negotiable spirit that every fabric of Christianity must cultivate. Say, the force of love is a non-negotiable element in the build up of the life of the believer. You cannot negotiate the place of the love of God in the heart of man. Paul is speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And I want you to pay attention. I'm going to share a lot of secrets with you. Paul is speaking, he says, eyes have not seen. Pay attention. Here, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Them that love him. So it is the lovers of God that ends up as a wonder to their generation. It is the lovers of God that ends up as a surprise to their generation. They end up as a breakthrough force to their generation. You cannot be a true lover of God and lack in the kingdom. You are not here tonight. Lovers of God cannot be predicted. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Lovers of God cannot be predicted. Lovers of God are not men and women that you can tell from whence they are coming and where they are going. The wind bloweth where it listed. Thou cannot tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So are those who are born of the Spirit. True lovers of God are men and women who are not wanderers, but they are wonders in their generation. If your amen is higher, you are the one to receive it. Amen. What does it mean to love God? Number one, what does it mean to love God? Number one, is to have a heart burning with passion after God. Is to have a heart burning with passion after God and the affairs of his kingdom. A heart burning with passion after God and the affairs of his kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Now, verse 4, and he went to Gibeon and sacrificed a 1,000 burnt offering unto God. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, David is speaking and said, I have set my affection for the house of my God. In that capacity, I gave because I set my affection for the house of my God. Am I talking to somebody here? So, is to have a heart burning with passion for God. The other day, the wise man is speaking in Proverbs 23, from verse 26 to 29. He said, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. There are many people trusting God for heights in the kingdom without a heart for the kingdom. Am I talking to somebody here? So until God has your heart, Jeremiah 17 verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Look at Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Quickly. I want studio and media to run because when I teach, I quote a lot of scripture just to make the point. Quickly, Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Say heart, the heart, your heart burning with passion for God. And the affairs of the kingdom means you are in love with God. Am I talking to somebody here? And I can put my life on the line that in the few decades I've been on the face of the cosmos, one of the secrets of God in the kingdom is a heart that burns with passion for God and his kingdom. It is those kind of believers who are unstoppably blessed. Am I talking to somebody here? I declare that after this teaching, your heart for God will rise to another dimension. When the affairs of God's kingdom begins to consume the tablets of your heart, that individual has become a genuine lover of God. A genuine lover of God. Am I talking to somebody here? David is speaking and say, you are my only expectation. Here you are in Psalm 62 verse 5. He said, you are my only expectation. David is talking and he's telling God how. You see, he's a promiscuous guy. But his passion for God. Go to Psalm 62 verse 5. He said, also unto thee, O Lord, belong mercy. For my soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from thee. My soul wait only upon God. That David was a passionate, he was a rugged man. Am I talking to somebody here? In Matthew chapter 6 verse 36, Jesus is giving the jackpot of the kingdom. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. But my favorite starts from verse 32. And if you understand verse 32, you will understand why you must seek God with all your heart. Let's start from verse 2. For after these things the Gentiles see, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows your needs. God knows that you have wants. God needs. God knows every fabric of your expectation. But look at verse 33. Quickly. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles seek for, he says, I will give them unto you. I will give them to you. The things that men seek for. It is not just seeking God. It is not just pursuing God, but having a deep passion for it. Having a what? A deep passion for it. Paul is speaking in Romans 12:11. He said, not slothful in business, but fervently serving the Lord. Fervently. Not slothful in business, but what? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving God. Serving God with enthusiasm. It talks about having a great zeal for God. A great zeal for God. Serving God with excitement. Serving God with passion. Serving God with perseverance. We are in a generation that this 21st generation has become too lukewarm. We have become too relaxed in our pursuit of God. I pray that tonight you shall receive an infusion of a fresh passion for God. Am I talking to somebody here? That is what it means to love God. And I want you to understand that in this season, a casual approach never makes any meaningful move with God. A casual approach. Anyone that will go far in the pursuit of his God must do so with aggressive passion. Aggressive passion. Passionately, zealously, joyously, enthusiastically. Paul is speaking in Galatians chapter 4 verse 18, and this scripture changed my life. Galatians chapter 4 verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected. Always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. There are people that are active in leadership when their leader is around. But Paul said, whether I am around or not, you have to be zealously affected. You have to be involved whether Dante is in or not. You have to be a lover of God whether in or out of season. Am I talking to somebody? You have to be obedient till the latter. Revelation 2 verse 10, he said, you'll be tried, you'll be tested, but be faithful till the end. Be faithful till the end. In 1 Kings chapter 2, you look at the anointing, the transfer of anointing from Elijah to Elisha. And he said, I want a double portion. But look at Elisha. Elijah says to Elisha, if you see me go, then the double portion is your portion. Am I talking to somebody? So God is looking for believers who will be faithful till the end. Not just beginning on fire for God. Jesus healed 10 people and only one came to say thank you. And he said, where are the 9? Because there are people we began with, they are falling off the race. But God is speaking, be faithful till the end. Revelation 2 verse 10. Be faithful till the end, then you will receive the crown of life. So it is, if you are none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive the crown of life. So in our service to God, in our pursuit of God, we must do it zealously. Say zealously. Whether people are watching or not. Not with eye service. Not to become men pleasers, Ephesians 6 verse 6, but we are doing it because we have the understanding and we are crazy lovers of Jesus. Do we have real lovers of Jesus in the house? Praise the Lord. Which means serving God with passion and excitement, both in the secret and in open. Serving God with passion and excitement, both in the secret and in the open. That is what it means to love God. Number two, to love God means to live a life committed to keeping his commandment. To love God means to live a life committed to keeping his commandment. Jesus is speaking in John 14, 21. He says that he that has my commandment, number one, and keepeth them, number two, it is he that loveth me, number three, and my Father will love him, number four, and the Son, I will also love him. And he said, and I will manifest myself unto him. So, it's called delightsome obedience. Say delightsome obedience. Say delightsome obedience. He that has my commandment and keepeth them. You keep the commandment. You live by the statutes of the word. You abide by the statutes of the word. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. For his commandment is not grievous. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. The commandment is not grievous. So when you are an addict of God and you abide by the word of God, it shows that you are a true lover of God. Every true lover of God is one that is given to keeping God's commandment. Praise the Lord. He said, my beloved children, let us not love in tongue, but in deed. We should not love in words, but in works. 1 John 3, 18. Am I talking to somebody here? Are you here?
Yes.
Are you enjoying the teaching?
Yes.
So to love God means to keep his commandment. Commitment to keeping his commandment. So loving God is not just an emotion. Look at someone say, loving God is not an emotion. It is not a song. It is not in words. But keeping God's commandment. I pray that you receive God's grace to abide in his word in Jesus' name. We look at Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to pay attention from verse 1 to 3. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, which we quote, but start from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Whatever they went through, we are also going through. There's nothing new under the sun. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which that do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then Jesus becomes our example. Number two, let's go. And so looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, everything you were subject to, he was also subject to it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there is no battle that you are facing that during the days of Jesus, he never faced it. But Jesus despised the shame. Look at the despised the shame. Paul, in the epistle of John, you look at John 5 verse 30. Jesus is our great example. He said, I can't of my own self do nothing. I seek not my own, but the will of God who sent me. The will of my Father who sent me. He was obedient to God. He said, I am not doing my own thing. I'm not just running as a misdirected wind. I am following the will of my Father who sent me. In John chapter 8 verse 29, Jesus is speaking, and look at what he said. And he that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do the things always that please him. Those things that please him. So Jesus was God manifested in flesh, but he was subjected to the will of the Father. Am I talking to somebody? Fully God, fully man, but he, every single thing he served, every single deed of him was pleasing unto God. Your love for God is revealed in your obedience to God. A true lover of God is the one that obeys God. Your obedience to God reveals that you are a true steward. You are a true servant of God. When you walk in obedience, then we can tell that you are a true addict of God. If you believe it, clap your hands unto Jesus. So love for God, you see, it is living a life that is consumed with the will of God. Living a life that is consumed with the will of God. Consumed with the passion to follow his commandment. The passion to follow his commandment. The passion to follow his commandment. I was sharing something at the gym with Pastor Dante in Hebrews 13 verse 7. And I said to me, it's one of my anchor scriptures that helps me to follow fathers and follow their faith and follow their works. As you remember, those that have rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation, considering their result, considering the buoyancy of great works you see, follow their faith. Follow their faith. Follow their works. If you want the results of the fathers you admire, follow their faith. Follow their righteousness. Follow their good works. Follow their prayer life. Follow their humility. Am I talking to somebody? We have a generation that do not want to follow, but we want to lead. Follow their faith. A man who loves God genuinely will exhibit in his pursuit of divine commandment. Every time you follow divine commandment, you are exhibiting the love of God. When you ignore divine commandment, you don't truly really love God. Am I talking to somebody here? Number three, to love God means to live a kingdom priority lifestyle. To live a kingdom priority lifestyle. Making God and his kingdom the priority. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus speaking in Mark 6:24, he says that no man can have two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have divided attention. James 1:7-8, for a double-minded person shall not receive anything from the Lord. So have a single-mindedness for God. Single-mindedness for God. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body. Let's see. Matthew 6:22. Are you following me? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Single-mindedness for God. Pursuing the kingdom with single-mindedness. Pursuing God with single-mindedness. For a double-minded person is unstable. He shall not receive anything from God. James 1:7-8. Single-mindedness. Matthew 6:24. You can't serve God. You can't have two masters. Your focus must be on God. He said in Exodus, for these people have made themselves gods of silver. Gods of silver. Making God and his kingdom the priority. Making him the number one in all affairs. In all affairs. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. He went to Gibeon. And verse 5, 1 Kings 3, verse 5, 6, and 7. He said, I'm a child. I don't have the capacity to rule. The God said, I'm going to give you wisdom. And we saw the wonders of that wisdom that God gave to Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 to 30, he spoke parables. God made this guy, he did wonders. Great men. Came and they sought wisdom from Solomon, for he was the wiser than all men. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Job chapter 1 verse 1. And Job, the one who was a passionate lover of God, perfect in all his ways, he eschewed evil. He was not chewing evil. He was upright. Verse 3 says God made him the greatest man of the east. The greatest man of the east. I feel the anointing coming upon me. Look at verse 3. The greatest man of the east. The greatest man of the east. His substance was also, look at it. And so that this man was the greatest man of all the men of the east. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, God speaks to Abraham. And people look at Abraham as the man of faith. But I want to show you something you have never seen before. That Abraham is not only prominent for his faith, but Abraham was the personal friend of God. He was a friend of God. And the hallmark character of Abraham was faith. Righteousness was attributed to him because of his faith. But he was a man of crazy obedience. Crazy obedience. Let's look at Abraham. Oh my God, I feel an anointing tonight. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. We see God speaks to Abraham. And we see verse 2 and 3. We see the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. Now look at verse 4. The Bible says, and Abraham departed. Which means he responded with immediate obedience. Say immediate obedience. Genesis 13 verse 2. God bless Abraham in silver, gold, and cattle. We see the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 24 verse 1. God bless Abraham with all things. With all things. The Lord had blessed my master in with all things. Genesis 24 verse 35. Eliezer is talking about the blessing of his master. And saying, the Lord has blessed my master greatly. But now I went to Isaiah 41 verse 8. And I saw that Abraham was not just an obedient responder to the will of God, but he was the friend of God. He was the friend of God. But thou Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. God speaking in Isaiah 51 verse 1 and 2, he said, Abraham, I called him alone. I called Abraham alone, and I increased him. Let's look at Isaiah 51 verse 1 and 2. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, Abraham, to the hole of the pit where ye are digged. Look at verse 2 and 3. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. He responded to the call of God with total obedience. First Chronicles 20 verse 7. Oh, I feel it here. First Chronicles 20 verse 7 to 9. Quickly, run. Korabashatai. Are you here? Korabashapantarabahayas. Don't know. John is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 to 9. Quickly. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 to 9. Oh my God. I'm digressing a bit, but I'll come back. Korabasha. And John 7 to 9. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 to 9. All right. Adam. Are not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, giveth it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend? Abraham was God's friend forever. God's friend forever. Love for God will make you a friend of God. Every lover of God is a friend of God. James chapter 2 verse 23. Every lover of God, God's lovers become personal, bona fide friends of God. James chapter 2 verse 23. James chapter 2 verse 23. Quickly. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham, the friend of God. Oh, I wish I was in Ghana. Ernest would have run this quickly. Quickly. Hold up a shepherd. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. Angels were passing. And Abraham, of course, he's a friend of God. He's sensitive. He's a prophet. And look at Abraham. Abraham, now God is telling, shall I, Genesis 18 verse 17, shall I hide that which I want to do from Abraham? When you become a friend of God, you are custodian of divine secrets. God cannot hide secrets when you are his friend. Lovers of God. And he said to Abimelech, said, go to Abraham, Genesis 20, verse 7. He will pray for you. He will pray. For he is my prophet. He is my prophet. Love for God makes you a friend of God. Love for God makes you a trustee of God. There are many people seeking for anointing, seeking for results without befriending the love that brings the result. Therefore, restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. He is my prophet. Kingdom priority. Until you are a seeker, you are not a custodian of secrets. Kingdom, making anyone that must go far with God must have God first. God is not permitted to be in second position in your life. His name is the Most High. It means he must be and occupy the highest priority in every individual's life. So to love God is to have deep affection for God than anyone else. Jesus is speaking to the disciples one day, and this scripture humbles me. I was sharing it with one of my sons earlier on. John chapter 5 verse 42. He says that, I know you don't have the love of God in you. Oh yes, Sebahaya. He said, I know that you don't have the love of God in you. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. So God knows his true lovers. Philippians 2:20 says, every one of us seeketh our own. 20 and 21. We seek our own. We seek our own. We pursue our own agenda. We are filled with our mundane passions. I, me, myself. Philippians 2:20 and 21. But watch this. He says that all of us, we are seeking our own. Philippians 2:20. We seek our own. Every one of us. Philippians 2:20. We seek our own. Receive grace to be fast. We seek our own. So Jesus recognized that there are men and there are men. There are those who are custodian of the love of God in their heart. He knows. He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I pray for you that if there is anything you will seek for, you will seek God than anything else. If you shouted amen, you are the one that I know. Look at, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Verse 21. Is it Galatians rather? 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. For all seek their own. That's where we are in the kingdom. That's why people are not growing in grace. That's why we are not experiencing the ancient mantles. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, the love of God, the love of God, getting some face towel, the love of God is the ancient part. Say the love of God. Jeremiah 16 is the ancient part. Is the ancient mystery for all mastery. Cultivating the love of God. Developing the love of God. Walking in love for God. Walking in love for God is the ancient part. Seek the ancient part. Oh, you children. Jeremiah 6:16. Oh, my goodness. May God give you grace. Quickly. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in. The love of God is the ancient path. Is the ancient path. Is the ancient road. The old rugged cross, the love of God. If there is any sermon I would want to teach my generation, is a clarion call back to the love of God. Look at someone say the love of God. Israel was a long time without law. Chronicles 15 verse 3, without law, without a teaching priest. And Israel was restless. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 3. Restlessness. Restlessness is the product of lovelessness. For a long season, Israel backslid. They left their God. A long season, no law, no teaching priest. There was not the true God. They lost touch. And in verse 15 and 16, God, when they search God with their whole heart, their whole passion, God gave them rest round about. And all Israel rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. I pray for you. Receive an intoxication of deep love for God. Lift your hands and shout, love for God. Look at somebody and say, return back to base. Now, the question is, what are the characteristics of the love of God? What are the attributes of the love of God? Are you being blessed tonight?
Yes.
When you see a genuine lover of God, what are some of the trademarks you will find around his life. Number one, if you love God, you will love his word. Every genuine lover of God is a love worder. He's a word lover. I beg your pardon. Every genuine lover of God is a word lover. A word lover. David, a great man. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, we see. And God said, "And I found a man after my own heart." David was a deep lover of God. A deep lover of God. Not just that. You can't love God and hate his word. So your love for the word reveals your love for God. A man after God's own heart. In Psalm 119, verse 97 to 100. He said, "How I love thy law. How I love thy law." John 2, 119, verse 167. He said, "I rejoice." So my soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I love them exceedingly. Other translation says, "I rejoice at thy law." That is in 162. Look at what 162, the same context. But he said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that find a great spoil." Every great lover of God is a word lover. You cannot be anointed and you are wordless. That anointing is questionable. Every great anointing is founded by the word. Am I talking to somebody here? So you are a genuine believer, a genuine Christian is the one that is a lover of God's word. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners. Psalm 1 verse 1. Nor sits on the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his desire is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Paul is speaking in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. He said, "Let the word of God dwell in you so richly, so richly, so richly, so richly." Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. So say, "Let the word of the Lord dwell in you." Look at someone, say, "Let the word of the Lord." Oh, am I going too fast for you? Are you sure you are being blessed? Paul is speaking, "Let the word of God dwell in you so richly." Colossians 3, verse 10. Let the word of God dwell in you so richly. Why? Because Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of this word bringeth light and giveth understanding to the simple. Can I talk to somebody? Jump to verse 9 and 10. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you so richly. So richly. And go to verse 16 as well. Jump to verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Psalm 119 verse 130. Psalm 119 verse 130. So Dante, you have to have this on your fingertips, okay? Yes. He said, verse 130, Psalm 119 verse 130. The entrance of the word give a light and give an understanding unto the simple. David is speaking, "Thy word have I hidden into my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So every genuine lover of God is a word lover. So look at someone and say, you can't love God without loving his word. There must be a deep passion. The word of God must be loaded in your heart
What makes a true believer is that he is a student of the word. He abides by the word. He obeys the word. He lives the word. And he says, give attention to doctrine. Give attention to reading a scripture. Praise the living God. That makes you a true lover of God. If you have no passion for God's word, then it indicates bankruptcy of God's love in your heart. I fear people that just wakes up from bed and they take the mic and they are prophesying. I fear them. I fear believers. I've watched over the years, I've seen pastors without prayer, without studying the word of God, they just jump on the pulpit and they are preaching. I fear them. I wonder what kind of spirit they are releasing. You must be a custodian of the word. Praise the living God. Number two, if you love God, you will love his house. If you love God, you will love his house. David is speaking. In Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. So the house of your friend is not burdensome. Whoever you love, going to his house is not burdensome. The house of your lover is not stressful. It is always delightsome to come to the house where love is waiting. Am I talking to somebody here? For saying not the assembling of the brethren. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 to 28. Forsake not the assembling. Assembly, the house of God. Hebrews 10, 25 to 28. Forsake not the assembling of the church. The brethren, forsake not. Forsake not the assembling. Forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it is a prerequisite for God to do something for us in our midst. Oh, we thank God for streaming online, but it can never be compared to the gathering of the saints. David is speaking in Psalm 84. How amiable is that tabernacle? How amiable is that tabernacle? David is speaking. David is a man who is a deep lover of God. He's a passionate man. A man after God's own heart. Psalm 84 verse 1. How amiable. Why? Verse 7. He said they go from strength to strength. Those that appear before God in Zion. A true lover of God loves God's house. If you are a true lover of God, you will not stay away from church. What reveals that you are a true believer is that you are a lover of God's house. Hebrews 13 verse 3. This is the place of cleansing. The place of exhortation. The place of doctrine. Am I talking to somebody? Look, go to verse 3 to 4, 4 and 5. Quickly. Oh my God, I feel grace here. Amen? If I miss the scripture, I will bring it back. Don't worry. Too many things are in the head. Praise the living God. What you love determines where you go. Who you love determines where you go. So if you truly love God, you will be in his house. If you are a true lover of God, you will love his house. One of the indicators of a heart that is on fire with the love of God is that you see a continuous desire for the house of God. It is that love that gets you up running to his house. The love of God is exhibited by a passion for his house. By a passion for his house. Thank you, Holy Spirit. David is a man I love so much. He's one of my models. In Psalm 132, he's praying and said, Lord, remember David and his affliction. How he never closed his eyes, nor gave sleep to his eyelids. And he made a vow to God and said, Lord, I can't go to bed until your house is built. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, David, God gave him rest from battle. And he called Nathan the prophet and said, how can I be in a palace and the ark of God has no place? David was a lover of God's house. And Nathan said to David, now go do all that is in your heart. Go do, verse 2, go do all that is in your heart. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. A true lover of God is one that loves his house. Your attitude towards the house of God reveals your love for him. Addicts of God are addicts of his house. Praise the living God. Number three, if you truly love God, are you being blessed tonight? If you truly love God, you will love the saints. If you truly love God, you will love the saints. You will love the brethren. You will enjoy the company of the saints. You will walk in love towards the saints. You must question the heart of a Christian who prefers the company of unbelievers to Christians. Praise the living God. You can't truly love God and not love the company of the saints. David is speaking in the doctrine of man. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So the one that loves God, love for God will dictate your company. There are believers who claim they are believers, but they are always in the clubs. They are always on the streets. They are friends. Love for God should choose your friends. You know, there are things that are expedient. There are things, according to Paul, he said, it's okay, but it's not okay. And the church has a culture of discipline. So all things are permissible, but all things are not expedient. And that scripture, one of the days I'll break it down for you when I come back. That is why I don't believe in so many things that some of our brothers, they do. Because there are things that are lawful, but it's not expedient. Because we have a culture as Christians. You can't mingle yourself with the world. So the things that the world are doing, you can't do it. That is why it's okay. But that's why I prefer not to put on a tattoo. It's because it is not expedient. It's not wisdom. The church has a culture. It's not the discipline of the church. Am I talking to somebody? We'll get into that later. Clap your hands if you believe in it. So if you want to know your love for God, check your phone calls. Check those you speak to frequently. Are they believers or not? Because lovers of God are lovers of the saints. Your company, your association is with the saints. Praise the Lord. There are believers, all their friends are unbelievers. They prefer unbelievers. You're a Christian lady, but Your boyfriend is a rugged. Oh my goodness, God have mercy. Now, most people know Solomon to be a great man, but they don't know his end. What destroyed Solomon was his association. 1 Kings chapter 11. What destroyed Solomon was his association. Back in Solomon, loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Zidonite, and Hittite. Look at 2 and 3. They turn his heart from God. Of the nations concerned with the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. Neither shall they come in unto you. So there are people who are not supposed to come in into your life. That's what destroyed Solomon. For surely they would turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon, cleave unto these in love. Solomon cleaved unto this in love. Your love for God decides your association. It is better to be alone and single than to date somebody who will lead you to hell. It's better to be late and not wrong. If a job you have accepted will lead you to hell, don't accept it. If a friend is introducing a particular habit that by your cultural, Christian, ethical, doctrinal orientation is not godly and biblical, leave that friend. Your love for God chooses your association. So if you're a true lover of God, you will love the saint. Am I talking to somebody? The pointer to genuine love for God is your love for the saint. Number four, if you love God, you will love the lost. That is evangelism. By this, we are talking of compassion for the lost. When you see an unbeliever, you are concerned about the state of their soul. When you see a sinner, what goes through your heart? That is a pointer to the love of God. The book of Mark, we see within and within come at the issues. Mark, is it Mark 7:22? Then what? So there is a struggle. I started by saying that man is flawed naturally. Praise the living God. It takes our strive, constant strive to be in Christ. Continuous cleansing, the work of sanctification, consecration, daily seeking God, that brings us in divine alignment. If God should leave us alone, we'll be permanently doomed. I don't believe in the preaching and what is going on the social media that once saved, forever saved. That doctrine is satanic. There are people who lost their salvation. Do you know one day Jesus spoke to me and said, it is you. It is you who have been with me. And he promised the 12 disciples that when we go to heaven, you shall sit at the right hand of God and you shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But one day, Luke 22 verse 1, 2 and 3, then Satan entered into Judas. And that was his end. The question is, wasn't Judas, let me give you the scripture. Then Satan entered into Judas. Then Satan, verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, sent him Iscariot. The question is, wasn't he part of the 12 disciples? In the book of Chronicles, the Bible declares that then Satan provoked David to name Israel. Am I talking to somebody? In Zechariah chapter 3, we see the high priest, a great high priest, but he was wearing a filthy garment. And the Lord asked a question, is he not the one plucked out of fire? Is he not the Lord? The Lord rebuked the old, said, even that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuked thee, is not a brand plucked out of fire. So you can be a child of God on fire today, and tomorrow you lose your salvation. Praise the Lord. Until you walk in continuous discipline, prayer, sanctification, righteousness, godliness, purity. There are people who are on fire for God. They are no more on fire again. Because the things that kept them on fire, they don't practice it anymore. No waiting. No waiting on God. No seeking God. No fasting life. No fasting life. I know preachers who say that they don't, fasting is not important. Now, they are kicking against fasting. They are kicking against tithing. They are kicking against communion. All the doctrines that we grew up with. Social media is killing everything. But I am an old school. I believe in fasting. I believe in sanctification. I believe in communion. I believe in tithing. These are covenant practice that keeps you going as a believer. Clap your hands unto Jesus. So if you love God, you will love the lost. You will love the lost. Now, Jesus spoke to Peter. Go to John chapter 21. And he spoke to Peter. John 21. Let's start reading from 15. And for me, every Christian must see deep wisdom and insight from this scripture. When they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Number two, he asked again. Let's go. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto me, feed my sheep. Thirdly, Jesus is re-emphasizing, if you truly love me, then go after the lost. Go after the lost. He said unto him the third time, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. One day Peter said, Lord, I want to go to prison with you. But he denied Christ. When the cock crowed three times. Check Luke 22 verse 15 for me. Check it for me. So, if every genuine lover of God has deep compassion for the lost, and I want you to know that soul winning is the capital proof of our love for God. Say soul winning. Going after the lost. Going after the lost. Soul winning is the capital proof of our love for God. Soul winning is the capital proof of our love for God. Soul winning. Being drunk in love for God. Being drunk in love for God. Check the verse 15. Look at the testament of Peter. He said unto him, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with. Okay, go to verse 34 and see. Find it for me. Is it? Find it for me. I think I lost it. He said, I'll die for you, Lord. So look at someone says, soul winning is the capital proof of our love for God. No, look at somebody and say, soul winning,
soul winning
is the capital proof
of our love for God.
Now, let me show you the mystery here. Let me show you the mystery here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, the writer of the book of John says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us, that God is love, that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the mystery of love reveals the depth of God in you. Praise the Lord. Say
the mystery of love.
When I see God's love in you, I can tell how much God is in you. So how is it that if soul winning is the capital proof of the love of God in our hearts, and you are in deep hatred, absolute ignorance, oblivious, when it comes to anything with the kingdom, if the barometer of the depth of God in you is the love of God you display in the kingdom. So, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Now let me show you what God changed my life with. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. It changed my life. And it's called the revelation of God. Say the revelation of love.
The revelation of love.
Quickly. Let's start from verse 15. Let's start from verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named. Let's go 16. Watch, pay attention. That we will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now, let's go to the pointer, 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He says when you are rooted and grounded in love, then we will see the height, the breadth. Let's go. That ye may comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the fullness of God is love founded. When you are rooted and grounded in love, you are filled with all the fullness of God. So if you are not rooted and grounded in love, you cannot be filled with all the fullness of God. So no love, no fullness. To understand the height, the breadth of the kingdom, to access all the blessings of God, to walk in all the results of the kingdom, you have to be rooted and grounded in love for God. That is the secret weapon of the house. That's the secret weapon of the believer. Love for God. Love for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Love for God. Man korobo shepre keteas. Zantele bahako shepe. Love for God. I know I'm not being too scripted today. Love for God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become of a sounding brass and of a tinkling cymbal. Right? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and although I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I have no love. I have nothing. I have nothing. Why? Because charity faileth not. Verse 7 and 8. Charity faileth not. Bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enjoying all things. Charity never fails. So it doesn't matter the giftings that we display. our possessions, our abilities, our capacities, our results, our giftedness, all these are bogus. They are nuisance to God. They are nothing to God if there is no love in your heart. And this kingdom is love founded, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For he who spared not his own son gave Jesus to us. So I want you to understand that the secret that makes stars in the kingdom is love for God. And I've discovered this. And there are many people who are operating in the kingdom, but they have lost touch with God. And that's why Jesus said, a time is coming, you will say, I cast out the devil in your name, I did miracles in your name, and you say, I don't know you. Come back to the place of consecration. Come back to the place of sanctification. Come back to the place of prayer. Come back to the place of kingdom service. Come back to the place of stewardship. Come back to the place. This is the old path that will lead you to heaven. I want you to be part of the fabric of genuine lovers of God. Let me close with this. I don't want to bore you with too much. It's a lot in my head to say. How do you develop love for God? Number one, love is a choice. Say, love is a choice.
Yeah. Love is a choice.
Joshua 24:15. Choose this day whom you shall serve. I call heaven to bear. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. And Joshua said, for me and my house, who serve God. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. The word of God. I call heaven today. I said before heaven and earth, choose life. Choose life. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and they serve me. If they obey and they serve me. They will spend their days in pleasure. They will spend their years. Their years in prosperity. So love is a choice. Look at us. Love is a choice. Choose to serve God. Love is not a gift. Love is not theoretical. Love is practical. Choose to serve God. Choose to walk in holiness. Choose to abide under your spiritual leadership. Choose to be part of men and women who seek God, who want to go to heaven. Choose to be loyal. Choose not to become a vagabond. Choose not to become a rebel. Choose to serve in humility. Choose. Our Father in the Lord, Bishop Jones, said, God will give you a thought, but he will not steady for you. Right? So God will not tell you to go and pray.
Yes,
you have the responsibility of prayer. God will not tell you to study your Bible. Oh, I love the iPad. There, but when there is something about carrying my Bible. I'm an old school Pentecostal. My mom trained me with a Bible. I believe in it. I'm not saying that your phone doesn't have Bible, but I'm a traditional, I'm a conservative. I believe in this. When you carry the Bible, there is this holistic approach. There is this serenity that comes with carrying your Bible, especially when you mark things God shows you, your visions, your red ink, your pink ink, all. I believe in it. Carry it as your weapon. The 21st century church has broken down our customs, our doctrines, things that helped shape our Christian culture and empowered our good behaviors. Oh my God, it's good to preach from the iPad. I have it. It's good to read from there. But I can never compare scriptures on the iPad to my Bible. There is a spiritual attachment I have with my Bible. That's why I carry my iPad and my Bible. All my fathers still has their Bible in the 90s. 20 years old, 15 years old, 30 years old. And they are there. There's a special fondness. This is a new generation. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. There's a special fondness. There are certain books, if you give me $1 million, I'll never give it to you. There are certain tapes. I have tapes 98, 99, 2000. I have certain books, my library. Even if you give me $1 million, I'll never give it to you. I have grown attachment to it. They are my spiritual resource center. They fed my faith. They helped shape my culture. They helped shape my discipline. They helped shape who I've become today. I want you to become that kind of a believer who will grow inseparable from God. Who grow, make the choice. Look at us and make the choice. Make the choice to serve God. Make the choice not to be a rebel. Make the choice to be faithful till the end. Make the choice to go God's way. Make the choice. Make the choice to grow in love with God. Make the choice to walk righteous. To be sanctified. Sanctify yourself every day. Make the choice to be disciplined. Make the choice to stay away from evil communication that corrupts good manners. Make the choice. Praise the living God. I know I have stayed out of my script, but I believe that you received me. Praise the Lord. And number two, ask for the baptism of love. Ask for the baptism of, say, the baptism of love. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of what? So love is a spirit. You have the fruit of the spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a custodian of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. For we, look, Romans 5, verse 5, please. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For the love of God shed abroad in our heart, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So make daily demand on the Spirit of God. So the more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you are filled with the love of God. Praise the Lord. So ask the Spirit of God to empower your love works. So the love works. To increase your tenacity of love. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to remain sober. Ask the Holy Spirit, be sober, be steadfast, for the adversity is like a what? A roaring lion seeking who he will devour. Alright? So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of love. Say, he's the Spirit of love. So ask him. And Jesus is speaking in Luke 11:13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to serve. Help you to be a great steward. Help you increase your appetite for prayer. Praise the Lord. For instance, this is my personal testimony. And tonight I've been very naked before you. When I've not prayed for a day, there's an uneasiness in my spirit. My whole day will be messed up. When I've not studied the word of God, my whole day will be messed up. Because it's a routine, it's a cultural practice. I don't know about you. There are believers, they go a whole week without praying. The only time they pray is they come to church. You are not a serious believer. So ask the Holy Spirit to increase your appetite. There are certain habits that are generational. Ask the Holy Spirit to kill those drive, that habit. Anything that shrinks your passion for God. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Praise the living God. Clap your hands if you receive it. You seek for a baptism of the Spirit of love. You desire it desperately. You pursue it with a sense of desperation. And the Holy Spirit will give you the love of God. Amen? Amen. And lastly, enter into a covenant to seek and to serve and to love God. Enter into a covenant to seek and to serve to love God. Enter into a covenant. Second Chronicles 15, verse 12 to 15. Enter into a covenant. And Israel without priest. Verse 3. Long season without a teaching priest. Without the law. Without the true God. Alright? Look at verse 12. They entered into a covenant. It's a covenant walk. And one day I'll come and teach on the covenant walk. It's a covenant walk. It's a covenant walk. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whatsoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpet and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they have sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their desire, their whole desire, and was found of them. And the Lord gave the people rest. God is a, God, our walk with God is a covenant walk. Say, our walk with God is a covenant walk. See the covenant that God had with Abraham? It was passed on to Isaac. Passed on to Jacob. And we see the blessings in response to the covenant. Because in Psalm 89 verse 34, he said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has spoken. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So God is the covenanter. We are the covenantee. Say, God is the covenanter. And we are the covenantee. God's word is constant. We are the variable. We waver in our belief, in our continuity, in our consistency, in our commitment, in keeping our part of the deal. Forever, oh God, thy word is settled. The word of God will not return unto him void till it accomplish the purpose to which it was sent. God is not a man to lie. He's not a man to lie. Has he not said, will he not do it? So God, the covenantee, his word is sure. We are the variable. So enter into a covenant to walk with God, to abide by his law. Keep your part of the deal. Determined to live righteously, determined to be prayerful, determined to serve God ruggedly, serve God with diligence, serve God with determination. Determine that this year you are not going to shift off course. Determine that this year you are not going to walk away from his presence. Determine to abide in the covenant. Praise the living God. And God will give you covenant exemption. When you walk in covenant, he grants you covenant exemption. Malachi chapter 3 verse 18, and I'll return and spare them as a man spareth his own son. I'll return. Malachi, then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now see the covenant exemption. See the covenant exemption. Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. He says that there shall be financial holocaust. Economies will fail. Things will be rough. COVID-19 will come, for behold, the day cometh that all shall burn as an oven. All the pride, yea, all that do wickedly shall stumble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord God of hosts. He shall leave them neither root nor branch. But what was that? What is our exemption? Verse 2, look at our exemption in the covenant. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth, grow up as calves of the store. Only they came to Joseph. Is this Genesis? Is it? Is in Genesis 47? They came to Joseph. Read the whole chapter. And they said, hey, what is going on here? How can you be alive and we are suffering? How can you be here? But there was a place called Goshen. Say Goshen. God gave them covenant exempt. Take your time and read the whole chapter of Genesis 47. In Goshen, there was supplies. In Goshen, the famine never hit the place. Same Egypt. Same Egypt. Same economy. Same living standard. But God gave the people of Israel that dwelt in Goshen covenant exemption. So seek to serve God. Seek to walk in covenant. And lastly, if you love God, you will give cheerfully. If you love God, you give cheerfully. You give without struggle. Giving is not a struggle. It's not a burden. You give as God has given to you. You give within your capacity. You don't give under duress. You don't give under compulsion. You give out of love. I have set my affection out of on the house of God. Out of that, I have given. Praise the Lord. You don't give under force. You give with the understanding that your giving is your living. Every covenant practitioner gives without struggling. And as God has blessed you, you give. It's more blessing to give than to receive. Praise the living God. Clap your hands. I know it's a bit unorthodox, a bit unconventional. It's a bit strong. I've spoken like a father. It's family talk. Praise the Lord. I've poured my heart on you. I have given you access to have a feel of my heart. How I think. My perspective. My personal disciplines and cultural blocks. Living standards. Praise the Lord. Social, there are many Christians who are being pastored by the social media. Their whole Christian walk is dictated by the social media. Live by the word. Know God for yourself. That is why every Christian is under divine obligation to study the word of God. Be directed by the word. Stay under leadership. Praise the Lord. Be submitted under spiritual authority. So you can be trained and groomed and nurtured and built. Follow your spiritual father, your leader. Imbibe the teaching and live by it. Don't listen to any other voice except the voice of God. Praise the living God. There are many people derailed, disconnected. They have been moved out. Because they are vulnerable. They don't have roots in God. Say, roots in God.
Roots in God.
So every storm that blows is able to remove them from the house of God. So in our church in Ghana, for 2 years, I taught without prophesying. No single prophecy. Because God told me, you don't build church with gift. You build with a word. Not that the gifts are not good, the gifts are powerful. But I believe that if you are strong in doctrine, it doesn't matter the whims and the caprices that comes. You cannot be moved. You have to have an unshaking root. COVID revealed the state of the church. COVID revealed the true spirituality of many believers. How to deal with loss. People were laid off. People were fell on, people that lost, people that they love, people that lost careers, houses. Many friends of ours lost their buildings. How to deal with all these things? If you are not rooted in God, you'll be shifted off course. Grow in God by growing in love. Be rooted. Be planted. Be planted. Be planted. Be unshakable. Be planted. Be unshakable. Be the church of Christ. out of Zion. For out of Zion, the rod of God shall shout. It will shoot out of Zion, the rod of God. Out of Zion. Study Psalm 87. Out of Zion. Out of Zion. Out of Zion. Study the Psalm 87. Go there. Let me see. Let me show you something there. Verse 3 going. Psalm 87, verse 3 to 7. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Let's go. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. This man was born there. That man was born there. And out of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. The highest in himself shall establish her. Out of Zion. Out of Zion comes establishment. Out of Zion. Out of Zion. The Savior shall arise from the mount of Esau. Obadiah 1, 21. Savior shall arise from the mount of, they shall judge the mount of Esau. Saviors. Saviors. So be planted in church. Be a church boy. Be a church boy. Be a church drunk. Be a church drunk. Be love drunk for God. Songs of Solomon 7, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Songs of Solomon 5, 7 and 8 is a scripture that I read every day. Songs of Solomon, go there, let me show you something. Am I taking too much of your time? Songs of Solomon 5, 7, start from 7. The watchman that went about. All right? No, 8, verse 5. Songs of Solomon 8, verse 5. It's a scripture I read every day. Who is this coming? He said, love is they were love drunk. Go to verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm, for love is as strong as death. Love is as strong as death. And this scripture, when I read the commentary, and I read a lot of stuff about it, I saw that until you are love drunk, your faith cannot deliver a peak. You hear what I said? Look at this. Until you are love drunk,
your faith
cannot deliver a peak.
Deliver.
Because faith works by love itself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 to 13. Faith that we preach, faith that we practice, the Christian faith, works by love. So may God help us. May God strengthen us. May we never be shifted off course. May God strengthen us. Praise the Lord. Adversity must not take you away from God. Problems must not take you away from God. Battles must not take you away from God. Galatians 5, verse 4 to 13. Jump to verse 13 and see. Faith that worketh by love. Find the scripture. Faith that loveth by hope. Faith that worketh by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Find it for me. This faith works by love. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, not but faith which worketh by love. Faith, our Christian faith. The Christian faith we profess works by love. Amen. Clap your hands. May God help us. Do you feel admonished? Do you feel my heart? You are going somewhere. When Jesus shows up in the clouds of glory, we have to be part of the men that will make it to heaven. Galatians 3:11 says, without faith, the righteous lives by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous lives by faith. Our faith. But this faith works by love. It's a love for God. It's what keeps us going. I'm not after anything. I had a meeting with my leadership today on phone, pastors.
I said to her, I'm not after anything. I'm after God. I'm not after anything. I'm after God. Oh, we thank God for the houses, the car. So everything will pass away. Yes. By Jesus. Yes. His word. Yes. I'm not after anything. I'm not after anything. I go back, I'm on radio. I'm going for crusades, communal crusades, touching lives, reaching out to the lost. That's my heartbeat. That's my heartbeat. I say this with apology. The 21st century, the technology westernization has done more damage to our faith. May God help us. Stand to your feet. Go back to this teaching and make sure. I know such teachings are quite rare in the 21st century. People come to church using God as a means to an end. But God is not a means to an end. He's the end. He's the very end. Abraham, God spoke to him in Genesis 15. He said, Abraham, I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. Can you imagine that God gives himself as the reward? Not car, not money, not houses, but you have God as your asset. Can you imagine? Reassures the covenant. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5, 22, and he was not. Walk with God. God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 17. He says, Abraham, when he was 75 years old, 99 years old, after 25 of receiving the promise, he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Let's walk with God. Daughters, sons, let's walk with God. Let's walk with God. Let's seek God. Let's serve Him. Let's seek Him. We've seen great men. Men that walk with God. God bless them. One of my men, I want you to study his life. Genesis 37, we see Joseph. Genesis 39, God was with Joseph. Verse 7 to 10, he said, how can I do this and sin against my God? And we saw his reward. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands. One day, a man who could lift up the city gate of Gaza lost everything. In Judges 16, when you have time, study the scripture. Delilah was a Luciferian phenomenon. They said to him, go to him, entice him. Go to him and entice him. And that was it, the end of his life. There was one day I went into a 21 days fast. I was praying and the Lord said to me, do you know that the enemy seeks for the precious life? He said the attacks will go through. And God showed me a scripture in Proverbs 6:26. He said the adulteress, the worried woman, seeks for the precious life. He hunts for the precious life. Proverbs 6:26. By means of a worried woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So the devil is on constant mission for the precious life. Child of God, maybe you don't really know who your overseer is. This is me. I'm a lover of God.
This is the naked me. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that without God, we are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. The adulteress seeks for the precious life. Judges 16 said, they said to Delilah, go to him. Go to him. Entice him. Let him tell you the secret. And verse 15 and 16. The enemy will attack you daily, but never walk out on church. Praise the Lord. I said, the enemy will attack you what? Daily, but never walk out of the sea. And she said unto him, how can I? Look at, and when thy heart is not with me, thou hast mocked me these 3 times. I said, look at verse 16. This is what, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily. She pressed him daily. Help me to walk with you. That's my prayer tonight. Pray that prayer. Help me to serve you. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to walk with you. Help me that I may know you. Paul is speaking, Philippians 3, 9 and 10. And the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. And they that know their God, Daniel 11, 32, shall be strong. They shall do exploit. Help me to walk with you. Help me. Help me. He said of Daniel, for the spirit of the gods is upon me. What? Help me. Help me. Help me. The gods have come to us in the likeness of man. Help me. Concerning Paul. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Lift your hands. Empower me. And give me the spirit of love. Empower me. And give me the spirit of love. The spirit of love. Spirit of love. In Ezekiel 36 verses, I will give unto you the spirit of obedience that you will obey. He will give unto you the spirit of obedience that you will obey. Give me the Holy Ghost. Come live in me, strengthen me, endow me to obey, to comply, to walk in your wisdom, to walk in your spirit, to walk in your understanding. Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto Jesus. In every Sunday in our home church in Ghana, this is how I teach. I have my pastor, Ernest. He's so fast. That's how I teach. I share the heartbeat of God, people. Let's grow in doctrine. It's this kind of teaching that makes you a true Christian. You believe that? Do you feel a shift? I made you jump and jump. We hooped throughout the 3 days. Now you feel like you have been rewired and reconfigured. Have you been recalibrated? Do you feel something has shifted in you? Clap your hands unto Jesus. If there is anything you seek, that I may know him. I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I want you, the more I want to know of you, Jesus. More of you. If there is any treasure you need, treasure of knowing God. The treasure of what? Yes, become love drunk. Love is as strong as death. Love drunk. Love drunk. A true disciple of Christ. A true disciple of Christ. If you don't have a Bible, go get your Bible. If you don't have a prayer life, starting from today. If you are dealing with addiction, anything that is fighting your Christian walk, come to your pastor. He'll pray with you. You can pray. You can fast. You have problems, issues with character. Come to your pastor. He'll help you. And after today, determine to serve God. Make heaven your focus. Make heaven. One day we'll leave everything and we'll go. One day, all that we are seeking for, we'll leave it. And we'll meet the King of Kings. And everyone will give account of his life. So if you are not saved, be born again today. Give your heart to God. Some of you have backslidden. Rededicate your life back to God. And seek God. Lift your hands. Come, let me pray for you. Normally when I teach like this, I do no prophecy, but come. I saw an attack on someone called Alina. That's your mom, your mom-in-law. I saw tears falling off someone's eye. The person is called Billy Joe, your husband. I'm going to pray for you. And stretch your hands, anoint her. Let's cancel every health issue. Listen, spirit of cancer in the family, let's cancel it. Stretch your hands. Let's cancel it. We pray for divine covering. Divine covering. Divine covering. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Take your seat.